Welcome, everybody, to HomeKit Insider. It has been an extra week in between the episodes. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal, Steven Robles, who, fun fact, is actually pen pals with Backpack from Dora the Explorer. Yeah, it's a fun life that he leads over there. So we got to get going because we did skip that week over Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and everything. And in that time, we have freaking been busier than a squirrel during acorn season, and we have a ton of news and reviews and so much other stuff to talk about today. So let's go ahead and jump into it, Steven.
You just said so many things, but yes, you know, looks
so many things.
Well, first of all, we have to hype next week's episode because it is very exciting. We have another special guest coming on this episode. It is actually the CEO of Molecule, the air purifying company. They've added HomeKit to their Molecule Mini Plus. But Jaya Rao, she's the CEO of Molecule, is going to be on the show next week. And what we want to tell you, because if you have questions for her or maybe about air purifiers, anything about Molecule's products, tweet at Andrew and myself, use the hashtag HomeKit Insider, and we'll try to ask her those questions that you have on the show. But anyway, that's coming out next week, a week from right now, as you listen to this episode. And before we jump into the news, just to remind you, we're going to be announcing the two winners of our SwitchBot giveaway at the end of the show. So stay tuned to the end of the show to see if you won that whole SwitchBot giveaway with the curtains and the switches and the hubs, all that stuff. All right, well, we have a thousand news items, so we're going to hit it real quick, almost lightning round. First of all, I saw this and I was excited about it, but HomePass, there's an app that it was on iPhone and even on Apple Watch, but now HomePass is available on your Mac. And if you didn't know what this was, you didn't hear about it before, HomePass is an awesome app where you can store your HomeKit codes. You can pull in codes from devices already on the network, or as you add a brand new device, you can add it to the app in your home, and it saves those HomeKit codes. And this is really useful, especially if you have maybe devices outside, or maybe the device doesn't have the HomeKit code directly on it. It's just on like the instruction manual or the box, and if you throw that stuff away, then you might not have the home code if you need it for the future. So anyway, HomePass is a great way to store those HomeKit codes in a single app. You can export it to documents, PDFs, all that. It's great. So anyway, HomePass now available on the Mac as well as a universal app for all your devices. So if you're a HomeKit person, you're getting a bunch of HomeKit devices, recommend that one for sure. Secondly, Ecobee, they're the makers of the Ecobee smart thermostat. They've been around for a long time. They actually have a smart camera, and they added HomeKit secure video to that Ecobee smart camera. And this is great. Again, the difference, you got HomeKit video, which is different. You know, you could see it in the home app, but it doesn't use iCloud for storage and all the activity zones and all that kind of stuff. And with a firmware update, Ecobee added that HomeKit secure video to the Ecobee smart camera. And we'll put a link to the article in show notes so you can see exactly what model we're talking about. But very cool. Whenever a company adds HomeKit secure video to a product, it's great. You can pick up that smart camera and it actually has voice control also. It's on Amazon for about $180. So pretty cool feature there.
So with that Ecobee smart camera too, and I guess we can talk about this in a few minutes, we're going to get to an actual gift guide for the holidays.
Oh yeah.
Some of our top recommendations. But what I like about the camera adding HSV is not only does it work with HomeKit secure video, but it still works with Ecobee's Haven platform. So if you have been an Ecobee user and you maybe have seen Haven talked about or anything, they announced it in April of this year, but they essentially created like an alarm system for your house that doesn't require like passcodes and all the kind of manual stuff that you would normally have with an alarm system. They've used all of their sensors, their motion sensors, their door sensors, their contact sensors, their camera, their thermostat, everything together to be able to detect when there is movement or someone in your house, and then they're triggering it on and off based on your location and Wi-Fi controls to kind of just automate the entire alarm system for your house. So Ecobee smart camera with voice control still will work with the Haven platform, but you've also got support for HomeKit secure video as well. And I think it's one of the few cameras, because if you look at other ones like Logitech Circle or the Eve Cam, those are exclusively HomeKit secure video, which is nice that they work with HomeKit secure video and you don't have to worry about anything else. But this, I think, adds additional value there, especially for Ecobee users who are already out there and invested into the Ecobee system as well. It is kind of one way that you get, they're embracing everything about HomeKit, but you get additional stuff for similar prices compared to everything else. So I'm very excited about this one.
Very cool. Well, speaking of cameras, Eufy, this was just found as we record, the morning we recorded, but Eufy, makers of a lot of HomeKit cameras, they have HomeKit secure video cameras, they came out with a 2K pan and tilt in black camera. This is on the website Chewy, which is like a pet website. I guess you can get like products for your pet. And anyway, yeah, Eufy Security 2K Indoor Pan and Tilt Pet Camera. It says it has Apple HomeKit, assuming maybe secure video because other Eufy products uses Apple HomeKit secure video as well. But curious about the pan and tilt ability. I don't know if there's a HomeKit way to control a camera like that. I don't know if it's just an auto pan and tilt.
There's not.
Yeah, there's not. It says it tracks things and it'll follow like your pets or people or whatever. I don't know if you have to use, you might have to use the Eufy app to actually control the movement of the camera and then, you know, hop back in home app for all the home features. But pretty cool camera. It's only $90. Eufy Security 2K Indoor Pan and Tilt camera. They're saying it's a pet camera. I'm sure it'll also see humans. But anyway, that camera is available now. Now, you got some news about a Netatmo doorbell camera. So why don't you tell me about that?
Yeah, so Ray from San Diego has been hounding Netatmo on Twitter, I believe. And basically, Netatmo was able to respond and said, hey, we are still planning to launch our HomeKit secure video doorbell camera in the U.S. by the end of the year. We have talked a lot about doorbell cameras and like a lot. And I know I literally just get random tweets. I got a tweet like yesterday, what about doorbell cameras? Without even any context, just the fact that there are still like very few options for this, especially in the U.S. We got a few weeks left here for Netatmo to meet that deadline, but it sounds like they are readying to release that doorbell in the U.S. by year's end.
Very good. That would be exciting to get some new doorbells on the market there. All right. Well, company Flick, which makes smart buttons, honestly did not know about this company, but now because they actually added HomeKit support to their hub, Flick Smart Button 2, they're basically these little buttons that can trigger things. You know, so if you want a button to turn on a light or you want a button to activate something around your house, they now have HomeKit support. And there's article and show notes you can read about that there. You do need a hub for these little buttons, but they're pretty cool. They're not like SwitchBots where they have like a little robot finger and do something. This is just a button from what I could tell.
They're just buttons. I've been using these with HomeKit for about a month or so now. They're pretty awesome. They're just tiny little buttons. So I got a four pack. So a four pack of buttons and the bridge. The bridge plugs into my router. And while I don't have a huge problem with that, it just makes me think, wow, I sure wish something like this had thread support instead of requiring another bridge hub device. But kudos to Flick for adding HomeKit support to their buttons. And it's pretty simple. You add the buttons into the Flick app like you normally would if you were just using them with Flick, which is good on its own. But then we add in HomeKit support, so you just enable HomeKit functionality. Once HomeKit functionality is enabled, all those buttons will show in the Home app as well as the bridge. And then you can assign things to a single press, a double press, or a hold, I believe. So three controls per button. They work pretty much as you'd expect them to do. Press the button, sends the control back to the bridge. I still have had occasional times where they don't, it's like the first time that control doesn't go through, and that's not something that's specific to Flick, but it's something I've seen with other HomeKit buttons that were out there, like the Logitech Pop, which is, you know, RIP at this point. It had similar kind of issues with that, so I'm pretty sure the issue is more lying with HomeKit than Flick, but it still works for the most part, most of the time through HomeKit, and I'm really glad they have that option. I added a few here to my studio, and I put two in my living room so I can use them to toggle like my set lights on and off instead of having to even use Siri. They've been pretty solid. The package also comes with a whole pile of stickers, which is kind of cool because you get the buttons themselves and you can put like stickers on them. So like, if you use a fan or a light, whatever it is, that way you don't kind of get the buttons confused on what they're supposed to be for. The only thing that's really missing here, and again, this is a HomeKit issue, not a Flick issue, where's our toggle control? Why do I still have to go in and manually set up conditionals for toggling with buttons? So if you go just through the Home app, you can set up for one press turns on a light and two presses turns off a light. Why does it have to be like that? It should be press it once to turn on, press it again to turn it off, press it twice to turn on a different light, press it twice again to turn that light back off. You shouldn't have to assign on and off to two separate controls. It wastes those extra controls. The way to get around it is to set up a conditional in a different HomeKit app, Home Plus, the Eve app, there's a ton of them out there, but you can set up a conditional. So you do one button press, and then if the light is on, turn it off, or if the light is off, turn it on. So that way, just one button press will turn it on or off depending on the state of the light when the button is pressed. So that's one way to get around it, but I just feel like you shouldn't have to set up a conditional just to use a flipping button. It seems like that should be pretty kind of...
Right. Should be built in.
Should built in. It shouldn't be a thing where someone has to figure out how to do that. For as much as HomeKit tries to be such a simplified platform, it seems like something that Apple should have done quite a long time ago. But the flick buttons themselves are solid. I think they're a solid value. I like the four-pack bridge in there. They've worked pretty great. These are probably definitely going to be up there, one of my favorite buttons. I mean, we've used other buttons in the past, but I like how small they are, and they work solid. Just don't like to have another bridge, and I wish HomeKit would simplify the button process a bit more.
For sure. So previously when we were talking about Thread, we had mentioned that Eve was bringing Thread support to some of their devices, and it turns out it's not most of their devices, we'll say. And so they actually have a website where you can identify your Eve accessory and see if it will actually support Thread with that firmware update. So we'll put a link in show notes to this page. It's really just about three or four devices. The Eve Aqua second generation says that firmware for Thread support is coming soon. Also, the third generation Dorin window sensor has Thread support, and I think one or two others. So if you want to know if your device, your Eve device specifically, will have Thread in a firmware update, go to this page. You can identify your device specifically and see if it will be updated with Thread.
I was a little disappointed by this. I mean, I was so hyped that they were bringing it to their entire product line. And I kind of see where the confusion was, because their PR came out and said, we're hoping to bring this to the entire product line, which is true, but a lot of them require hardware updates to add the requisite hardware for Thread support. Some devices already have that built in, and I didn't even know some of these products had second and third generations out there. Like, I had no idea that in 2020 they had released an updated version of the Eve Aqua.
Right.
Like, there was no visible differences. There was no. You know, functionality differences. The only difference, it seems, is they quietly added the Thread hardware to the controller. Like, so Eve, I believe, has like a main chip that they use in all their products, and it's what kind of enables a lot of their functionality, and it makes their development process a little bit streamlined. So my guess is they've updated their chip that they're using, and as they went on their next manufacturing run of, like, the Eve Aqua, they just put in their new, you know, controller chip in there, and boom, it already had support for Thread, so they didn't need to make a whole big deal about it, because Thread support wasn't even official at that time, but they just updated their internals as they were, you know, running another manufacturing. So that's my guess of kind of what happened, but I was a little disappointed that it wasn't coming to more products, because apparently I'm going to have to update some of my Eve door and window sensors to get that Thread support in there.
That's true. Also, I guess one of their devices that support Thread is the Eve Thermo, which this is not something that I knew existed. And if you don't have one of those like exterior radiators, you probably wouldn't need this or have any use for this. But
I'm pretty sure it's only even launched, maybe in the UK or something, or in Europe, not necessarily even in the U.S., because we don't have a lot of radiators like that.
Right, so not available in your country. So
yeah, see?
JK, anyway, check out that Eve Thread support page if you're wondering if your device will get Thread support. Also, what came out since last we had an episode is Hue Adaptive Lighting has now been publicly released. It's available to everyone with Hue lights that support adaptive lighting. So you look for that firmware update, you update your hub, and then you got adaptive lighting. So I have some bulbs, my light strip, and a single bulb and a lamp, ceiling fans. They all have adaptive lighting. And so download it, check it out, and let us know your thoughts. I'm curious. We'll probably cover this on next week's episode or very soon, seeing if it's like noticeable or if you actually see it changing throughout the day. Because adaptive lighting is supposed to be this thing where it changes color temperature throughout the day, hopefully to like help you wind down later or kind of match the environment. I haven't really noticed a ton, just quick take right there, but it's available. You can download it, try it out.
I know, that was nice. The Hue stuff is kind of obnoxious the way they roll out firmware updates, because there's usually not a big feature update, right? It's usually like kind of iterative or bug fixes type stuff that they're rolling out to their bulbs and their bridge. So they do it by regions. So they're like country by country, region by region, they're rolling stuff out. So with adaptive lighting, we saw it in beta in like random countries, and then we saw it actually rolling out to people, but again, not in the US and just random specific countries as they were rolling it through their, you know, like region rollout map. So since our last episode, it is in the U.S. If you were in the U.S. and you have Hue, any bulbs that support color changing. So that is the white ambiance as well as the color and ambiance, I believe, as well as their light strips and everything. All of that should support adaptive lighting now post-update. So just update it from the Hue app, then go into the home app and you'll see a little prompt on the top of your screen telling you about adaptive lighting and choose which lights do and don't work with it.
Now, we've talked about the HomePod Mini handoff in our last episode when we were kind of reviewing the HomePod Mini, but I know there was some confusion about, you know, does the big HomePod have the same kind of handoff and all that? So you might have some clarification, Andrew. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yes. So since we've done our last, apparently our episode is going to be just correcting things that we had wrong last time. Here is
We said a lot of things. When you say a lot of things, it's just okay. Stuff's got to be corrected.
So we were correct last time, but I want to be more clear on what is going on.
You want to be more correct?
I want to be more correct. Since then, William and I finished up our HomePod Mini review, and we've done a lot of deep dives and talked to people to get concrete answers on what is happening. So here's what's happening. HomePod and HomePod Mini do have handoff. Like we talked last time, we just never used it as much. So both of them do support handoff. The HomePod Mini has the U1 chip inside. Right now, the U1 chip is doing diddly. It is just sitting there, just enjoying its time off and not doing anything for you.
What?
The U1 chip will come into play, Apple still says, later this year, with an improved handoff experience. The U1 chip is able, if you don't know already, to track your U1 enabled device, like your iPhone, with very high precision. So that will create a much better handoff experience in the future. So when they go ahead and update the HomePod Mini's firmware in 2020 at some point, it should bring that improved handoff experience. There's a new like animation. You'll have like haptic feedback, audio feedback, visual feedback that handoff is happening. Apple describes it as being like they're connected, like physically connected to one another as that audio is transferred off. It sounds very neat. Right now in the betas, I am not seeing that in the HomePod OS beta as well as the iOS current beta. I'm not seeing that in there yet. Not to say that's not going to be there by the time it releases, but that's where we're at right now. So right now the U1 chip isn't doing anything. It will be doing something later this year with an update for a better handoff experience. So right now HomePod and HomePod Mini are largely the same. It just, to me, it still feels different on the HomePod Mini. I don't know if it's just because of the size or because it's like here on my desk, so I'm doing it so much more frequently than my big HomePod, but they shouldn't really be doing anything functionally different between those two at the moment. In the future, soon, HomePod Mini is going to be amped up, U1 ready to go, much better experience with additional feedback on that. So that's where we stand with handoff on the HomePod Mini.
Mm-hmm. There's some conspiracy going on. That's my opinion. But anyway, also we had macOS Big Sur come out recently, and if you have HomeKit Secure video cameras, you can actually set your activity zones now in Big Sur right there in the Home app. And so we have an article. William actually wrote the article about showing how to do it and where to go. So we'll put that article in show notes and you can play with your activity zones there. Also, Morose, the company that, you know, we've talked about it before, and I have one product I haven't been able to set up yet. But anyway, Morose has added HomeKit support for their like wall switches. And so I'll actually put a link in show notes directly to the Morose website. I'd be curious if anybody uses Morose light switches and how they work. You do not need a hub, which is nice. But yeah, curious how they work. I'm also trying to find out if they require a neutral wire. And yeah, it looks like they do. So my old house will not be able to utilize these. But if you can, yeah, check out these Morose light switches. Also wanted to mention Scene Cuts. This is a app-ish utility type thing for Mac. You actually download it from GitHub and you can run it there. But Scene Cuts lets you run your HomeKit scenes from your Mac, and you can actually do like keyboard shortcuts to actually like run those scenes. And so, you know, if you don't even have to have the app open or click in the menu bar, you could just do like a key command and run a scene in your HomeKit library. And so it looked pretty cool. I haven't tried it out personally yet, but I'll put a link to some tweets that actually show it in action and where you can download it and try it out. So if you want to try out Scene Cuts on your Mac, I'll put that there.
It's also available on the Mac App Store now.
Is it? Oh, they did put it out. Okay.
It is. I was literally wondering that. I'm like doing some quick Googling while you're chatting, and I'm like, it's available on the App Store.
Oh, look at that.
I think that was like their version, because there's no test play on Mac, so I'm pretty sure that was like early version that Nick was running to get it out there. But yes, it's free. It's a utility. Scene cuts in the Mac App Store.
Yeah, and it's totally free in the Mac App Store, so that's very cool. Well, I'll put a link to the tweets and also to the app in the App Store. Very cool. All right, iOS 14.3, there's been betas coming out. There's probably an imminent release of the public version very soon, but iOS 14.3 now gives you the ability to update, I think, individual accessories from the Home app. Is that right? Why don't you clarify that for me?
Okay. This is the murky world of HomeKit sometimes, guys. Mm. It does not get very clear. So for everyone who is out there now using their HomeKit devices, you already know there's two ways to update HomeKit accessories. Well, yeah, roughly two ways. If you're looking at an Apple accessory like a HomePod or a HomePod Mini, they're updated through the Home app. That is your only visual interface to those devices on your iPhone, and that's how you update them. Then you have any other HomeKit accessory, your light bulbs, your switches, everything else. And those are all updated from the manufacturer's app, which is, in my mind, absolutely stupid, because HomeKit, it's a whole thing. We've talked about this. You can run it. You don't need that manufacturer. So if, you know, if we're looking at a Wemo plug, I got one sitting here on my desk for talking in a minute, and Wemo goes under, Belkin goes under, turns out they grossly miscalculated Apple popularity and they've gone under. It's terrible and we're all sad, and now all of a sudden all these Wemo devices no longer have a developer behind them. They'd be HomeKit compatible, so you don't need that developer at all, and they would still continue to operate through the Home app just as they would when you bought them when Wemo was around. Wemo did not go under, that's not true, but that's my point. So if the manufacturer ever went away, they would still operate like normal. So the thing here is, when you have to download that third-party app, it's just kind of obnoxious. Like, you can set up Wemo devices, you can set up the Molecule, you can set up everything directly through the Home app without any manufacturer app whatsoever. So it's really annoying and, I think, stupid when they're like, oh, by the way, there's a firmware update and you have to download that manufacturer app just to do that firmware update. And there's a lot of bad third-party apps out there.
Yes.
So I just never thought that made sense. And what was even weirder was that you'd get a notification in the Home app that there was a firmware update available, but it just kicked you back to the other app. And even when it kicked you to the other app, there was no, like, if I'm looking at like a Vocalink smart bar and I hit, oh, there's an update available, and I hit the thing and it would take me to the Vocalink app, it doesn't like take me even directly to where the firmware update is. I still have to like dig for it, find the accessory, and then do the update. It never made sense and it was frustrating. So it seems like Apple is finally going to be fixing that, because in 14.3, there is a new kind of UI. So there's that normal alert at the top in those little bubbles that tells you there's a firmware update available. And if you go in just to your house settings, there's a new toggle there for, well, it's not completely new, but a new thing there that says firmware updates, and it shows you updates that you have available. And again, it still takes you to those other apps, but it looks like you'll be able to do those updates for those accessories directly from the Home app. That's what at least it appears Apple's going to be doing. We've talked to a few HomeKit manufacturers, and they still don't know how it's going to play out. They haven't heard anything firmly from Apple on how they implement those firmware updates, but it seems like it's going to be a thing. I mean, if you're looking at devices like the Logitech Circle View, there is, right now, there's no even way to do a manual firmware update. All that's done just in the background whenever a firmware update comes out. So to be able to have like a physical way to do that from the Home app, toggle on and off automatic updates as you choose and do those all from the Home app without requiring any third-party app would be very nice. So it seems like we're going to be getting that in 14.3. It'll just be on the developers, the manufacturers to implement that for all of their products, but it's a step in the right direction.
Very cool. So you have a Wemo outdoor outlet that you've used and reviewed. So why don't you tell us about that too?
Yeah, this guy is pretty new and I've been using it for about a week because the timing here, clearly Wemo knew what they were doing with the timing, because they launched this guy just ahead of the holiday season. So whether it is just the fall and you've got, you know, some, I can't think of what, like filament bulbs hanging above your deck, or you've got spotlights hitting some accent points on your house, or you've got Christmas lights outside, you've got holiday lights, you've got a menorah in your yard, whatever it is that you're trying to power up throughout the holidays or the rest of the year, it is always good to have an outdoor HomeKit outlet. Now, there have been quite a few outdoor HomeKit outlets out there. The iDevices one is good. We've seen them from iHome, I believe. Ross might have one. There's a good handful of them out there. We've played with most of them. Wemo is pretty consistent with a lot of the other ones that we're seeing on the market. So it is a Wi-Fi connected outlet, so not Bluetooth. Makes sense since it is outside your house. And as long as you've got a Wi-Fi signal somewhat near your house, this guy should connect without any issue. We didn't have any issues with our house, and our house is brick. So that worked out well. It's a bit smaller than some of them. Like the iDevices one, I have a few of those, and this is definitely smaller than that one. It's still a similar design. I mean, it's still black plastic. Mm-hmm. It's got a water-resistant rating that should withstand debris above 1 millimeter in size from getting into the ports, as well as water and snow from any direction. It says it can withstand jets of water from any direction. There are two little silicone outlet covers. So this does have two outlets on the end, and you can plug two different devices in. And if you're not using one of those, there are little silicone covers that you can use to cover those up. Now, that's probably partially just to keep out, you know, water or anything else to get into the plugs, but it's also helpful because I have so many, especially like right now, I've got outlets that are outside, like power strips outside or something, extension cords, and I even just get like dirt and whatever that is, mulch, like in the plugs. I gotta like clean them out before I just go ahead and stick forks in them to help clean them out. It's fine. Don't worry about me. But I clean those out, so it's really annoying. And I like that they have these covers on the plugs for when you're not using them. So there are two little silicone covers there. There's a physical button on the front, and it has a little light on the inside, which is helpful because if you were turning this thing on manually and you're turning on lights, chances are it is dark out. So the fact they put a little light on there, I thought was a really smart idea, and it gives you a physical way to turn this thing on and off. All the controls, HomeKit devices like that, have a physical button, but they just make it nice and easy. There's a little mounting bracket on the back, so you can screw this into the wall so it kind of hangs there. Very easy to mount it and not leave it in like your garden or something where it could get dirty or water damage, anything like that. Has a 90 degree plug on the end. Works for me pretty well, especially if it's in the bottom one. If you have two 90 degree plugs, I have issues. Like a lot of my outlets, you know, they're tight together. So if I have two 90 degree plugs, I can't plug them in there. So depending on what you have plugged into outlet, this will either be a good thing or a bad thing. So you may need to move your stuff around to get it to fit. But if you're like me, they have like those, they're slim and they have a cover over them. So these do help fitting in there, mm-hmm. assuming I don't have two 90 degree plugs to plug into one set of outlets there. Other than that, it has worked great for me. So there's a ton of stuff you can do. Turn this on and off with the lights. I have my holiday lights, my Christmas lights turning on and off about 30 minutes before sunset. And then I have them turning off around 1 a.m. You can also turn these on and off when you arrive or come home. Just control them with Siri, schedule them, whatever you want to do. But it's a great option for a outdoor HomeKit power strip. The only downside, I'd say, is you cannot control the outlets individually. You can only control them as a group, which for the most part is fine. You can just turn both of them on and off at the same time. But if you had different lighting, maybe functional lighting around a patio area, and you just wanted to turn on one light and not turn on the other, you couldn't do that with this one. You'd need like a separate plug or control to do that. Minor thing there. This thing's also a little bit smaller than some of the other ones out there, but I like it. It's a great option.
Very cool. I'll put a link in show notes to the Belkin website, and it's actually sold out on Belkin's website. You might be able to get it on Amazon, but it's taking a while to ship. But it's apparently a popular item. But I'll put a link in show notes to Belkin's website. You can check it out there. So we wanted to do a gift guide where we really suggested some awesome stuff for you to get your friends and family for the holidays if you're looking to get some HomeKit devices. Before we get to that gift guide, just wanted to throw a follow-up from a listener question. We had other listener questions and feedback, and we will get to that next episode. This one was just jam-packed with stuff, and we still want to talk about the gifts. So this is a follow-up to Marion. She had emailed us asking about how to get a turntable connected to her home theater system and her like HomePods and stuff, which is not really easy or intuitive or streamlined to do, but someone tweeted at us, Tom Eppenberger actually tweeted at us, and he sent this app slash device called AirCord. And this AirCord app, basically, if you get audio into your iPhone, you could then use your iPhone to stream that audio to all your AirPlay devices. And so what he does, and I'll put a link to this app, the website, and also this little like audio cord that he uses, but he basically goes from his turntable into this little headset buddy line level audio adapter. It's on Amazon. I'll put a link in show notes. He goes from the turntable to this audio adapter and then into his iPhone, and then using that AirCord app, you can AirPlay to the entire house. And Marion, I remember because you got that Denon receiver that has AirPlay 2, you can then send it to your home theater system and all your HomePods simultaneously, any device that has AirPlay 2. So you can do it. The little adapter costs like $22, and the app, which is called AirCord, is actually free. You can just download that for free. So for $20, you could try to get these adapters, connect your turntable to your iPhone or iPad, and then send that audio via AirPlay to your home theater system and all the HomePods simultaneously. So this is probably the easiest way to make it work, and it might be possible. So Marion, definitely try this and let us know. We'd love to know if this actually works for you guys with that turntable.
That's a cool idea. I like the idea of having, I can literally picture like a turntable with an iPad mini like propped up as like a home controller that would also have that input into it. I'd put all those together and be very nice. But that's a really neat idea. I like the idea of using it on an iPad that can be like kind of not permanently, but more placed versus your iPhone. Because it's kind of annoying to plug in your iPhone, then you can't use your iPhone while it's playing music because you're tethered to that. So I feel like that would be perfect for an iPad.
Or if you just want like a bespoke device that lives with a turntable, maybe get like an iPod Touch or something. Just have that sitting there the whole time.
That is true. Yeah.
But anyway, great. Thank you, Tom, for that. And Marion, let us know if that works for you. So now we're going to round out the show. We still have that SwitchBot giveaway we'll mention and do that at the end of the show. But our holiday gift guide from your HomeKit friends, Andrew and Steven, here are the devices that we would recommend. I'll hit mine real quick, and then I'll let Andrew go into a diatribe about all that he has recommended. But I just have four recommendations from me personally. Number one, my favorite Switch so far, because I have a bunch of them in my house. It works without a neutral wire, and the reliability has been basically 100% ever since I've installed them. Lutron dimmer switches or non-dimmers. You could just get the non-dimmer switch on off as well. But the Lutron dimmer switches have just been incredible. I highly recommend. It does require a hub, but in my opinion, you know, if you need something, especially that doesn't require a neutral wire because you have an older house, Lutron dimmers are the way to go. Now, if you have neutral wires in your house and you really don't want a hub, then I would recommend the Eve light switch. I love all the Eve HomeKit stuff, and I think Andrew's got a couple Eve stuff that he's going to mention too, but Eve light switch is awesome, and I actually really love their light strip. We actually used it in some of our holiday decorations around the house, and their light strip is pretty cool. When it comes to cameras, my favorite HomeKit Secure video camera is the Logitech Circle View. The Logitech Circle View, you can use it inside, outside. It's extremely flexible. It turns every which way. It does require power, so it's not completely wireless, but they've been rock solid, in my opinion, except for the one that I destroyed because I left it in the rain with the plug exposed. But anyway, Circle View, still my favorite camera. Great quality, seamless setup, works great. Logitech Circle View is my camera of choice. And one thing, especially here in Florida, temperature has been changing wildly. It's like a cold front now. We hit like 30-something degrees the other day. And so temperature ranges wildly. But if you do not have a smart thermostat, that was actually one of the first smart devices I ever installed in my house. And I just love being able to either tell Siri to change the temperature or just jump into the app and change it very quickly. Love doing that. And so I love my thermostat. I actually have the Ecobee thermostat, but they have many different models. The Ecobee 3 Lite is actually pretty economical. I recommend that one as well. So those are my picks. Andrew, tell me what you got.
Oh my gosh, man. Okay. So to be fair, this year was probably the hardest time I've ever had trying to pick out what gear to do for a HomeKit gift guide. I remember early on doing these smart home gift guides, and it's pretty easy because you've got like two options for things, like really in like HomeKit infancy. And here we are with just a ton of different devices to go with. And I could have picked out so many different ones. Like, I love the Hue Iris is such a fun, different light to use as an accent light. The Eve Flare is an awesome portable light that you can just take inside and outside, and it's waterproof and battery operated. My Hue Gradient light strip around my TV, I'm using that for the holidays as well as when I'm watching content. And it's a really fun, unique device that also works with HomeKit. I love all of the Eufy cameras because they're so affordable and there's so many different ones of them. But I didn't include any of those on my gift guide. I tried to find ones that I found that were more functional as well as unique. And a lot of these tend to be some of my favorite devices in the HomeKit's base. So first up, we have level lock or the level lock touch. I just like these so much because of how polished these devices are. The fit and finish on these is absolutely amazing, and functionality has been rock solid. Every time that I've tested both of them, I've tested the original level lock, which is the invisible one that completely hides in your door, which we've never seen anything like that before. And then the level lock touch, it adds all that HomeKit functionality, but allows you just to touch that outside of the lock to lock it and unlock it and everything. And I think that is just so unique. So I have absolutely adored those. So if you are looking for a deadbolt solution for somebody, that is an amazing option to go with. When it comes to audio, there's a ton of AirPlay 2 speakers that work with HomeKit, but the one that I always recommend for people is the Sonos Move. It is a battery-powered speaker. It's Wi-Fi and Sonos, so it works with the Sonos radio now. It works with any of your Sonos stations, including native integration with Apple Music, but it is an AirPlay 2 speaker, and it's an AirPlay 2 speaker that works over battery power, so you can just take this into your yard with you and still stream over AirPlay 2. I think that's incredible. And then when you leave your house, you can still operate it over Bluetooth. So it's such a versatile speaker that, I mean, as a Sonos product, it sounds incredible. So I've just really, really been impressed with the Sonos Move since I've gotten it. We use it, other than like the soundbars for the TV, we just use this thing all the freaking time. So Sonos Move is for sure on my list. I wanted to mention the Nanoleaf Essentials, which I kind of feel bad because it seems like they've been in short supply and hard to get people's hands on them. I would really recommend them for a number of reasons. One, they're incredibly affordable. They are it's the Essentials line from Nanoleaf, so it's surprisingly cheap for how nice they are. They're also functionally some of the brightest ones that are out there. I mean, both the bulb and the light strip are some of the highest lumen outputs that we've seen from devices, and they're full color spectrum and can do all that fun stuff as well. The Nanoleaf app is great, and there's a lot of different kind of syncing and things you can do with that. They've also been quick HomeKit supporters, including supporting things like the adaptive lighting is coming soon. And we cannot go on without mentioning the fact that these are the first devices out there that support Thread. So if you or the person you're buying for has a HomePod Mini or planning on getting a HomePod Mini and can use Thread, that makes them incredibly responsive. Between responsiveness, functionality, and price, these things are just an absolute slam dunk. So I have to kind of mention those in here. We also want to mention Molecule, that new Air Mini Plus. There's only two HomeKit air purifiers on the market. A lot of people are focused on air quality this year. Depending if you're out in California, I know some of that stuff can be even worse because of the air quality with the wildfires that were going on. Allergy seasons have been worse than ever. So a good air purifier is pretty key. And Molecule has been spot on for me. I mean, it's made a huge difference just in my office. I don't have like terrible allergies, but I have enough that I sneeze halfway around my house. And when I'm in the studio, I am not doing that. I don't have a runny nose. I'm not sneezing. We still are doing more testing with this, but I've just been very happy with it. It also has just such a great design to it. If you look at this compared to the Vocalink PureFlow, not to diss the PureFlow, but the thing is really big and it looks techy. I mean, it's covered in bright green lights and a huge display. The Molecule is very subtle, very clean, very modern looking. That's what I would look for in a gift. Like, it looks nice as well as functionality. It's great. So Molecule will be on my list.
Just a word, it's actually on sale on Amazon right now, $100 off. So it's normally $500. You can get it for $400 right now. So link in show notes, just saying.
Right, I know. I literally got the email from them today too. They were already on my list before I saw they were on sale. I was like, do I need a second one of these? Okay, right. Anyway, this is apparently where we get into the camera part of my list because I have three cameras on here. I literally could not pick between these three different cameras, but they are all unique. So I guess the first one would be the one we've already talked about, which is the Ecobee Smart Camera. I love that it works with Haven. So if you're buying for someone that already has an Ecobee thermostat or some of the Ecobee smart sensors, the door sensors all kind of just work together. And I love that. So the Ecobee smart camera was just updated with HomeKit Secure Video. Between that and working with Haven, this is a very high recommendation on my list for a standalone camera. So especially if they're Ecobee users, this is a perfect addition to that ecosystem as well as HomeKit. Then we have the Arlo Pro 3 floodlight cam or spotlight cam. This has to be on my list because I use it every single day. This is in our backyard. The dogs run outside and it pops on. It's great as a security camera because it has that motion activated light on there. It works with all the Arlo Pro smart stuff going on, but it's also a HomeKit device. So you can control both the light as well as the camera and the motion sensor all through HomeKit. So I can tap into the camera to see what's going on. I can watch it in my HomeKit app on my Mac now. I can control the light just through Siri, and you can get trigger other accessories via motion detectors. So if you're in your backyard and you've got a bunch of filament bulbs hanging or light strip going down your stairs, anything like that, you can use the motion sensor on the Pro 3 floodlight cam to trigger those other lights. There's only one other, I guess kind of one other outdoor motion sensor for HomeKit, which would be the Hue outdoor sensor. That one will allow you to trigger stuff, but if you're not using Hue, that's an extra investment. So like this, that you're getting a camera, you're getting a motion sensor, you're getting a light all in one product. And it can run off of a solar panel as well, which means you don't have to charge it. So some cool stuff there for the floodlight cam. The last camera is the Abode IOTA. We've talked about it a lot. There's a reason I like it, and that's because not only are you getting the Abode IOTA as a camera for your home, but you're getting the security system as well. So you can tie any of the Abode accessories that work with HomeKit into this. You can get motion sensors, contact sensors, all that can be used to trigger the alarm system of the Abode IOTA. And then you also have the option, like if you're leaving for vacation for 3 days, boom, you can just go ahead and buy that premium professional monitoring for 3 days while you're gone for a weekend. And that's a lot of peace of mind. So I like having that ability there too. There's nothing else like that. So that would be my list of HomeKit recommendations. There's nothing in there that's like super cheap. I guess the Nanoleaf Essentials are on the lower end. I really didn't try to pick all expensive devices. The Ecobee camera is not too bad. Eve stuff isn't bad as far as price goes, but there's a lot to play with. The Eve Degree, the Eve Flare, any of the Hue stuff are good recommendations, but those are going to be in my list. And of course, we do have this all written out with links and everything, like an actual gift guide up on Apple Insider. So we'll put that in the show notes. You can just click through and get our whole gift guide as well as why we love all of those devices.
Whew, we did it, Andrew. Man.
We did it.
That was a lot of news, of gift guides, listener questions. So hope you enjoyed that barrage of information. All right, and the two winners for our SwitchBot giveaway, and just to remind you, they're going to be getting two SwitchBot curtains, a Hub Mini, SwitchBot meter, two SwitchBot robot fingers we've talked about on the show, and a SwitchBot remote. And those two winners are Jessica Dawkins and Bryce Jacobson. Congrats to Jessica and Bryce. I'm going to be hitting you up on a DM to get your address for shipping. But congrats, Jessica and Bryce, for winning our SwitchBot giveaway. So let us know, what are you going to be getting for yourself or for your friends and family? What HomeKit devices are you going to bring into your house? Let us know. We'd love for you to tweet at Andrew and myself. You can also tweet questions and comments. Use the hashtag HomeKit Insider and mention us to make sure we see it. If you haven't yet, you can be one of the many that have given us a 10 to 13 star rating in Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate all of you who did that. We have an awesome community of listeners. So keep the reviews coming. Keep the comments and questions coming on Twitter. And we'll be sure to get to more of those listener questions on the next episode. Don't forget, next week, the Molecule CEO, Jaya Rao, is going to be with us. And so if you have questions for her, tweet those at Andrew and myself as well. We'd love to ask her questions that you have about anything Molecule, their air purifiers, all that kind of stuff. So thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.